We got a very full show and a very full weekend. Fortunately, the temperatures are good, 60 at night, 65 to 70 during the days. Yeah, there's a chance of showers, but that's just fine. Keeps us alive and alert. So again, a shout out of healing to Viv and Audrey and Jamie and Michael, and lots of love to them and to Squamish Carol and Seashell Tessa and Sydney and Robin, and also healing to Lena Zahara, and love to all of you listening. Long Beach, East Side, New York, Susan. Going to start right out with my first guest, who fortunately is here. And yes, my other first guest just showed up. And it's good to be right on time. I'm not always so good at it, but I'm glad you are. Constance Wisenen is here. She is, I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, a new member of Tempo Gallery. Is that correct?
Yes, I just joined last month.
Great. Now, were you showing at a particular gallery before, or just various and sundry?
No, I've had several shows around town down in Cannon Beach, but always on a one-off. This is the first time with full-time being in a gallery.
Congratulations. That's
Thank
terrific.
You. I'm very excited.
And a beautiful gallery at that. Tempo is 1271 Commercial, and it looks like a tiny place because it's got a small door. However, it goes way, way back, half a block back. And it's called Tempo because it started at the same time that the Astoria Music Festival was inhabiting the space, using it for an office. So you've got your musical theme. Do you know how many artists are involved at this point? Is it five or six?
Let's see. We've got Ed, Thron, Phyllis, Vicky, and Carol. So six, yes.
Okay, great. And you are the featured artist tomorrow night during Art Walk. And I'm going to let you tell us, because I am familiar with some of your work, although I read something about freeform concrete sculptures. And, you know, now that I say it out loud, I think I have seen something, but that's completely different from what I think of it, your work in textiles and fabric, soft and flowing and colors, not like concrete sculptures, or maybe that is. So tell us.
Well, there is a little bit of a relationship in that both are textural, just very different kinds of
True.
Textures.
Mm-hmm.
I started fooling around with the concrete this year, and it just got kind of addictive. I made a water feature for my church.
Mm-hmm. A water feature means you can run water through
it. Water is running through it during the service, so you can hear that nice sound of water, which is very relaxing.
Nice.
And that was a freeform concrete sculpture, but to get to that large-scale sculpture, I started making a number of small ones just to get used to what the material's like to work with.
What is the material like to work with?
Like playing in mud. It's just like, get back to your inner kindergartner.
That's great.
It's a lot of fun. A little more alkaline than mud. You should wear gloves. But beside that, it's the same feeling.
And does it tend to stay fluid? Do you have to keep adding water?
You want it at the right texture. And depending on the size of the sculpture I'm doing, I may add some acrylic hardener to make it a little more sturdy for the large feature. I actually used fiberglass drywall tape to reinforce it, just to make it stronger.
So when you say large and small, what are you talking?
Small ones are maybe 6 to 8 inches in diameter, and the large one is probably over 2 foot in diameter.
How heavy is that?
Heavy enough that I don't like to carry it without help very far.
Okay. And once you set it down, it's kind of there? Or you, like the one at the church?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can lift it up. It's easier for two people to lift it than one. And, of course, it's full of water and has rocks in it, too. So you want to take that stuff out first.
And do you leave it the color, that sort of color of
cement?
I
like to think of them, they kind of look like exploded geodes. So if you know what the outside of a geode is very rough textured, but then the inside is very smooth textured because of the surface I use to mold it on.
Okay.
And so, then I paint the inside so it's reflective.
Okay. So you recently started doing that. And before that, for how long have you been doing the various fabric and textile work?
I've been fooling around with fabric, since at least the early 80s. But like many artists, we evolve as we go. You know, I did very traditional. It started with traditional quilting.
Okay.
And somewhere, maybe in the 90s, I thought I really didn't want to be doing anything anymore that wasn't entirely original work. So nothing using either a traditional pattern or an original pattern. Everything with an original pattern or original design. And so that's about how long I've been doing it that way.
And do you still do, quote, traditional quilt type stuff? Because I've never seen a traditional anything from you.
Well, my children are in the age where all their friends are having babies.
I see.
But my baby quilts are not like your grandma's baby quilts. They might have, the last one I did had Bigfoot on it.
Uh-huh.
And I had the grandchildren put their, I used acrylic paint to make muddy footprints on it.
Great.
Of course, I told them it was poop.
Oh, lovely. That made them more excited
about
it.
They had a blast.
I can just imagine little Max going, boom.
Oh, yeah. They had fun.
Yeah.
It was good fun.
Sounds like the regatta is beginning or something's beginning.
Something's exciting down there.
Sirens happening. Maybe it's just to usher in the weekend, which is going to be quite busy. So I've also seen a mix with poetry. How does that work for you?
So I've probably been a poet longer than I've been a quilter. And there are times where I made a whole series of quilts that, or fiber art pieces, that really each piece had a poem on it. The series was basically titled The Emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was during a time of my life where I was feeling a lot of emotional swings.
Mm-hmm.
And so I documented those in fabric and kind of worked my way through a grief process by making the art pieces. And sometimes I would have a poem that would come to me and then I would make the piece, and sometimes the piece would be formed and I would think there was no poem, and then I'd wake up and the poem was there.
Yeah. And then what did you do? Just write the poem on that? You didn't stitch it?
No, I print them, and usually I put them on the back, but sometimes on the front. There are a couple of pieces in this show with poetry on them.
Okay, now, for full disclosure, Constance, let's see all of this arts. You've been doing poetry for longer than you've been doing fabric arts, mm-hmm. which is 30 years, so that's even longer. And now you're doing the cement as well, concrete. The job that you had, your professional, original,
my left brain life?
Yes. Not the one you're doing now, the one you used to do. Yes.
Yes.
Tell us about this.
My education is actually in chemical engineering.
Yeah.
And I spent nearly 30 years doing that to basically keep myself fed.
Mm-hmm.
Put my children through college, little things.
And while you were doing that, you were also making art.
Oh, yes.
So how did that work for you?
Well, I think most artists will tell you that it's very difficult to make a living making art. There are exceptions, obviously, that we're all aware of, whether it's music or whether it's visual art of some kind. It's very difficult to make a living at that. So I think you'll find most artists have some kind of a day job. Mine just happened to be engineering.
Yeah, well, that's a little bit bigger day job than most of the artists I have coming in here. But at the same time, did you feel it was more or less balanced, or did the what I have heard is oftentimes people's day jobs take so much energy that they have a hard time devoting time to their art. So I'm wondering.
Well,
plus you had a family.
Yeah, it was certainly a very intense type of job. I was in management, but I don't know. I found like the art was the right balance for me. And then, yes, raising two children at the same time, much of that time as a single mother, it kept me busy. But I have been blessed with a lot of energy. And so And I think the day job also kind of informs the art. I think that being part of something very mechanical, I was working in the paper mill, very large machines, really, and working also with the chemistry of the process, looking at the fibers. A lot of my work is, I would say, informed by nature. I like the patterns of a piece of wood, of rock. And right. Again, that's kind of what's drawn me to the concrete is mm-hmm. that feeling of making stone.
Mm-hmm.
And so it all kind of wraps together in a nice way.
So do you remember how you chose chemical engineering?
I do.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
So I was going back to school. I had taken a little hiatus after high school and always thought I would probably do like either something awful like be a teacher like my mother or worse yet, a nurse. Sorry, nurses and teachers. Bless you guys for doing that work. It's just not me. And I think I was an okay mom, but you know, there's two boys you could ask about that.
Yeah.
Going back to school and I thought I had never taken high school chemistry. So I thought, well, I'll start with chemistry and see if I can do that and calculus. And so I started with that. And about halfway through the quarter, I was feeling a little overwhelmed. And I went to talk to my chemistry teacher and he said, well, you know, you should have had a lot of this in high school. I said, what do you mean? I didn't take this in high school. And he's like, well, that was a prerequisite. I'm like, well, they didn't tell me that.
Oops.
So there I am halfway through the quarter. I've already spent in those days, it was only hundreds of dollars in tuition.
Right.
And I thought, well, I'm just sticking with it. I'm going to make it work. And then when I started pursuing what careers might be available, I think it was sort of like, I sort of distinctly remember sitting at the table. Of course, this was on paper, mind you, and filling out the little form and having to pick a box, mechanical engineering, civil engineering, chemical engineering. I thought, well,
okay,
let's just give it a shot.
I see.
Here I am a couple of decades later.
Right. Well, and we don't need to go into it, although you can mention it if you want, but it's not like you've retired from your day job. You have a new day job.
I have a new day job.
That keeps you busy.
Yeah.
But it seems that the art, I've been watching you since I first saw some of your work. And I went, oh, I wonder where this came from. I've known this woman. I've never seen this.
The mind of a squirrel.
And
that's where it came from.
Well, it keeps growing. Your artwork keeps growing and it's quite gorgeous sometimes. You've been very generous donating some of it for some of the organizations that you care about and that we all care about.
We are in a great community.
Yeah,
and I love to support our community.
We are. So, how do you feel about being part of a gallery now with other artists?
Well, actually, I discussed this with Tempo, maybe a year or two ago. And at the time, I felt like I didn't want to make the commitment to having enough art to do this. But now I feel like it's the time in my life where if I have that little bit of a deadline, a little bit of that homework thing, to have something new up every month, I think it will be good for me to help me produce more.
Nice. Great. Well, I highly recommend. I haven't seen this new work, but...
Well, the piece you have to look for is I did a piece with discharged fabric, where I started with black fabric and removed color from it, and it has copper on it.
I'm sorry. I hear the chemistry coming through here, but I have no idea what you're talking about.
I took a piece of black fabric...
Commercial black fabric.
I removed color from it.
How do you remove color from black? Oh, like bleach and stuff?
Exactly.
Okay.
And sodium hypochlorite, if you want to be technical.
Excuse me. Yes. Yes, ma'am.
You would just call it Clorox.
Exactly. And or just bleach.
Yeah.
No brand names even. And then you add...
I quilted that, and then
I
bought some copper pieces that were rejects from another project from Jacob Moore across the river.
Oh, yes.
Yeah,
oh.
He's a fabulous artist.
Absolutely.
And so that's just something new
interesting.
That I'll be showing tomorrow.
So then it's three-dimensional?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Very nice. Okay, folks, Tempo Gallery and Constance named all the other artists there. Their work is up to Constance Wisenen is the featured artist, and she's brand new. head on over there during Art Walk and congratulate her and check out this work. Did you say you will or won't have any of the concrete sculptures?
Oh, yes.
You will.
Yeah, the window's full of them already.
Okay, great. And the address is 1271 Commercial. So it won't be hard. It could be hard to miss, but it's right next door to Old Town Framing. That's an easy,
it's close to Old Town,
easy mark.
Yes.
And Peter Unander is going to be playing jazz keyboard. He's fabulous, so it'll be a lovely evening. Mazel tov. Okay.
Thank you.
And this is Coast Community Radio, KMUN, KTCB. I have a piece of music for you, and this one is from the Winterlings. They are playing Waikiki Beach Concert at Cape Disappointment tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. And I've chosen this to dedicate to all of those to whom we're sending our healing wishes. Long may you live.
To the oaks outside my window, long may you live. To dreamers with their tubes of pain and brushstroke canvases, to rooms where people make love and the breath with which they sing, long may you live. To the smiling Dalai Lama, long may they slaughtered all your people and yet somehow you forgive. To leaves on apple trees performing photosynthesis, long may you live. To the music in our marrow, long may hides in ocean tides and brings the sailors in to sleep that keeps us wrapped tight in the night's black velvet skin. Long may you live. Long may you live. To the suicidal poets who use ink as medicine, to the acrobats who try to fly time and time again, long may you live. To the artists of America, long may you live.
Do you hear that, folks? To the artists of America. And you know what? We are all artists, creative people in one way or another. This happens to be Arts Live and Local, so I'm all with that. But whatever your creative form is, terrific. Just keep it going. I did want to mention that there are lots of galleries tomorrow evening for Art Walk. And one of them is Imogen Gallery on 11th and Marine Drive. And you've got a great opportunity to hear the two artists there talking together with Donna Quinn on Toots, Talk of Our Towns. If you missed it on Wednesday, go to coastradio.org, click on Listen, Podcast, Talk of Our Towns, and catch MJ Anderson with her marble sculptures and Christos Govitas with his, it's different. He's got some representative art, figurative art to go with hers. And the show is at Imogen And I loved it. MJ Anderson's comment was, "I was born to carve marble." Sounds like a country western song, but actually it's a terrific artist. I've seen her work. Also, Lightbox is having something special, extending tradition with, you know, they've got all kinds of cameras going. This time, traditional approach. And that's on Marine Drive. And Riversea has Continuance. And Artstall has Kyle Ruda. And you can catch all of this if you pick up a copy of Coast Weekend. They're all over the place these days. They're back to distributing them free, which is wonderful. And then you can also find out what's happening with the regatta. Right now, I have in the studio Andrew Tonry, who is the program director at the Tolovana Arts Colony. And that is a group that is near and dear to my heart because the two guys who started it actually were Billy Hultz, the Reverend Billy Hultz, and Uncle Mike. And both of them have left this plane, but they left many legacies with us, and one of them is the Tolovana Arts Colony. So welcome, Andrew.
Thank you, Carol. It's good to be here. And, you know, you were saying earlier about how we're all artists, and our founders used to say, anything done well becomes art.
Yeah, right, right. And, Oh, that we could go so many places with them. There are some people who are making a mess of their lives and not making art. And unfortunately, some of them get to run the countries. But we're going to make a difference.
Maybe not ever.
Artists
well, done well, right?
Artists
we said done
unite.
Well.
Yeah, done well. Okay, so Andrew is here because, well, for many reasons, but right today is there are free summer concerts in the park in Cannon Beach. And one of them is this Sunday, the 11th of August. Orquestra Pacifico Tropical. Is that right?
Si.
Si. Okay. And I do have some music from them, but first, why don't you tell us a little bit about them? And if there's anything you want to say about look at you. You're wearing a New York Times T-shirt. And here I am sending blessings to New York. They were just in this studio with me last week, my brother, sister-in-law, and friend. So is there anything, if there's anything else about Tolovana Arts Colony that you want to add, please do.
I would just say, yeah, I mean, our focus right now is the summer concerts in the park. And we've got three left this summer. So
yeah, you did one a week or two ago?
2 weeks ago, had a great Afrobeat band from Portland, Jujuba.
Yeah.
They were amazing, and we're keeping that big band spirit going this weekend with the orquestra.
Did they say orquestra, or is that you saying it? Because in Spanish, I think it's just orquestra.
You know, my pronunciation, I defer to you.
No, but they may not. Well, no, unless they told you. Do it this way.
No.
Okay.
But yeah, they're an 11-piece group from Portland. They're playing cumbia, but there's kind of, they have a little bit of their own, you know, it's not wholly traditional, you know, the way they put it. Orquestra Pacifico Tropical's Wall of Sound is dedicated to expanding the music of Central and South America to the people and dance floors of the Pacific Northwest.
Wow. 11-piece band. Let's hear a little bit of it right now.
Well,
Well, we're going to keep them going in the background, but I want Andrew to tell us a little bit more about how does this work? How do you find a band like this? How do you invite them here? And who comes?
Who comes? Well, let me first say, you guys listening can't see it, but Carol was dancing in her chair.
It's true. It's a beautiful thing. Fantastic.
How it works is, well, we're supported by a grant from the city of Cannon Beach. That's what makes these free. And they take place in the beautiful downtown city park at Second and Spruce. There's a band shell. How it works is, I want to find things that come across the spectrum. I want it like we had Afrobeat last time. We were having this cumbia group. I want to find music that people may not be familiar with, but once they hear, we'll be like, oh, I need more of that in my life. And, you know, and just to bring things to the coast we don't always get. I want things, obviously, to be exciting and family-friendly, and I want them to be... these two groups especially, like, there's just something when you get, 10, 11 musicians on stage, that collective energy really, really, and especially it feels a big, big park like that. There's is something special when you get that many.
Yeah. Well, I have to say that just last night on our Sonidos Latinos show, this would have fit right in because there's that wild Rican, our favorite Puerto Rican who plays dance music, and this is fantastic. So what else do you have coming to us now? There's something kid-centric. What does that mean?
There's something kid-centric coming next Saturday. It's a Saturday matinee at 2 p.m. on August 17th. The group or the performer or the artist is named Red Yarn, and Red Yarn does, children's type music in an Americana vein, but is joined by puppets. So there's some interaction.
I saw the photograph and I couldn't figure out what I was looking at.
Yep,
so,
you were looking at the puppets, which are part of the show.
Okay. And when is that happening?
Saturday, August 17th at 2 p.m.
Okay. And it's good for everybody. This, again, a free concert in the Cannon Beach City Park.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, bring your chairs, bring your picnic baskets, bring your blankets, your kids, your friends, your neighbors.
Sounds good.
Even your dog.
And then, oh yeah?
You can.
Really?
Yeah,
you can?
Yeah.
Not everybody allows that, so that's good to know, folks. And then, what's your fourth concert?
Then our final concert of the season is September 22nd, and that is, we have two groups, the Builders and the Butchers from Portland. They are a kind of stomping folk group, and the inimitable Baby Gramps.
That's fantastic. Now, you're going to have them both on, is that?
Yeah, and that one starts at 4 p.m. on September 22nd.
Okay. Well, I'm delighted that you're doing this. Is Tolovana Arts Colony doing anything else right now? Because you have so many irons in the fire, usually classes and shows, art shows.
So in Cannon Beach, on the weekend of the 22nd, there is this new festival coming called the Earth to Ocean Festival.
September.
Yep.
Oh,
in September.
Yes.
And we're working on, one of our board members is a weaver, and we're working on a weaving sculpture that will be big enough that you can go into. So,
ooh,
from natural
nice.
Materials. So that's a new experience that we're testing out. So.
Nice. And I believe Eva will be here, right here in the studio, to talk a little bit more about that festival in September. So we'll hear about all of the exciting stuff. I did write down Baby Graham. So, but the concert this Sunday, Orchestra, we'll see how it's pronounced when they get here. Pacifico Tropical with cumbia and then some. 5 p.m. this Sunday, free concert. And that's on Second
and Spruce, bringing to the tennis courts, the Chamber of Commerce, just downtown Cannon Beach.
Yeah, so ditch your car, and then you can stroll around the lovely Cannon Beach as well. Andrew, thank you so much, and I know it's tricky getting here in the summertime because the There's a bit of traffic on the road. Yeah. So I really appreciate your coming up. And how long have you been with Tolawana Arts Colony?
Oh, 3-4 years. When you start losing
track
count, it's been a few.
Well, I'm glad you're still there because the organization is terrific. Puts on the Get Lit at the Beach as well and all kinds of functions.
It is a joy and a pleasure and just like being here. So thank you, Carol.
Oh, thanks. Okay, Andrew Tonry, how do you say your last name?
Tonry.
Okay, close enough. Tonry. Program director of the Tolawana Arts Colony. Do you guys have a website?
TolawanaArtsColony.org.
That's easy enough. Check it out and see all of their offerings and then show up on Sunday, 5 p.m. Thanks. Mm-hmm. And I have some more music from Michael Hurley, because Michael is part of this Fort George Regatta Bonanza. It's a block party. And so I have a tune from him. I like a lot of his tunes, but the birds and the critters have certainly been putting me to sleep and waking me up. And so I'm going to play the Hoot Owls from Ida Snock. His Ida Konsnack album. And we're going to send out more healing wishes. Thanks for being here, folks. Coast Community Radio. That's coastradio.org.
Let them hoot owls keep on. Let them hoot owls keep on howling, cause I believe they right. Walking in the old love, I always have. Walking in the old love, just to ease my pride.
Michael Hurley. Yeah, folks. So there's this block party going on. I think it's from like, I don't have to think. This is the good news. Oh, but I'm surrounded by delicious smelling, gorgeous textiles that I can feel. They didn't even ask me to wash my hands first. I may have to wash my hands afterwards, come to think of it. A stack of indigo. Let me just tell you that, yes, the Fort George Block Party, Saturday and Sunday from 4 to 10. And Saturday is the Hackles. Yes. Did you hear that?
Yes.
That was one of my next guests. And that's, of course, Luke and Katie and friends, then Michael Hurley, and then Tango Alpha Tango, and on Sunday, the Get Ahead, I love that band, Jerry Joseph and Roselit Bone. That's what I wrote. I'm not sure if that's quite accurate, but there is going to be so much regatta stuff. Last week, I had on the air Jeff and Emily and Ray for the Regatta Pit Party, which is Saturday night. That's down below, right behind Imogen. It's the 1,000th person who goes on the underground tour, who enters the gates, is going to win big time at Astoria and the 125th Regatta Party. That's from 8 to 10 Saturday night. And during the day Saturday, Hi Hi is having their vendors, Summer Bazaar, 20 vendors, Summer Bazaar, out at the Hi Hi Lights Art Barn. Iris, ever heard of that place?
It's a fantastic place.
Don't we know it? That's we'll from 10 to 5 tomorrow.
Oh, you will? Yeah, Brittany's going to be there.
I'm not so surprised. And Peer Pressure Productions is featuring Midas Digs tomorrow evening with our own Graham Nystrom opening in a solo act, which should be amazing, as well as the whole band, which is amazing. Seaside Library is featuring Ron Walker at 1 o'clock for an afternoon with Lisa Penner, who's my hero of Astoria. She is with the Historical Society. And the Cannon Beach Gallery has an opening for their 12 by 12 with over 80 artists. The gallery isn't that big, but they're going to have over 80 artists. So it's going to be fantastic. I'll tell you more later. Right now, I have two amazing women here, and they are putting on an indigo fest, which is why I've got my hand crawling amongst all these fabrics. They're all different colors. They're going to explain how they can be all different colors and yet indigo. They go from almost a turquoise. It's like almost green through that traditional dark blue indigo. So you already heard from Iris Sullivan Dare. Hi, Iris.
Hi, Carol.
And no stranger here. used to be a programmer. She may get sucked back in. We don't never know. And Brittany Bowles, who has not yet been a programmer here, have you?
I have not yet been a programmer, but I've been on your program.
Yes,
this is my second time.
Woohoo! So no
second
virgins.
Second annual. No,
so far, I have had no virgins today. How sad. They are going to tell us what they are doing. Now, this isn't happening until September, but there aren't that many spots available. So they're going to tell you what it is and how you might be involved. Plus, who knows where else indigo might show up? And what is indigo anyway? Go.
So, indigo, as we know it, is an insoluble blue pigment that you can get from plants. And there's a couple of plants that we can grow here. And Brittany and I and a whole host of other small growers on the coast are growing it. So,
Is it edible?
It is. This particular variety is. This is the Persicaria tinctoria. It's in the buckwheat family. And
that's what I'm smelling.
It looks like basil. Oh, I'm crushing some in my hands right now. I'm sorry for everyone on the radio. You can't see this.
No,
but some of it's leaking out and
her
it's
hands
oxidizing.
Her hands are blue.
Yeah.
Very much so.
Yeah, it is edible. It's actually been used medicinally for centuries. It's called Japanese indigo, but it's really native to the region of Japan, China, Vietnam, So it's a riparian zone weed growing wild there.
There's mm-hmm. that magic riparian. Is that why it grows here as well?
Yeah, our climate's really similar. Rainfall's really similar. It doesn't need the hot heat mm-hmm. that some of the tropical indigo-bearing plants need. So it's ideal for Oregon.
So are you saying that what you're crushing in your hand mm-hmm. made all of these colors?
Correct. Yes.
Okay, folks. I don't understand because her hands are, they're
blue.
Really.
More and more blue.
More and more blue.
As my nails are, too.
Yes, and so far I've been touching only the finished products. I think they're finished.
Yep.
And I haven't gotten any. Now, what if I wet this? Would it come off on my hand?
You know, if you've worn Levi's, you've encountered indigo. That's
really?
Probably the synthetic indigo because we figured out how to synthesize it in the late 1800s. But it's such the perfect dye that we haven't figured out a better blue dye. So they're still using
I did not know that.
The indigo molecule, but we're making it by hand. Synthetic. Not by hand, we're making it in big factories. But there's some problems with that, which we don't need to go into right now. But
So you're doing is growing the original plant. Mm-hmm. How you didn't discover this on your own?
Oh, absolutely. Lord, no.
Okay.
No. Thousands of years.
The fact that it grows here, though.
There was not an indigo tradition in this part of the world prior to contact.
They would have got any blue from vivianite, which is a mineral pigment. So that would be found in the rocks.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no indigo plant here that's native to this region that they would have had a history with.
But there were indigo-bearing plants in the Americas.
Yes.
So like the oldest fragment of indigo-dyed cloth we have is from Peru from like mm-hmm. over 6,000 years ago.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So when did folks start growing it here, small growers, here being Oregon?
So there probably were a handful of, just people in their backyard doing their thing. But really, it kind of blossomed from Roland Ricketts, who's in Indiana. He's kind of an indigo guru, an artist, and a teacher. He was gifted seeds by Dorothy Miller, who brought this particular Persicaria tinctoria to the States from Japan directly. From her teachers, they gave her seeds, and she distributed them. And then about 4 years ago, it came to Vibrant Valley Farm, and Kara grew it on her farm.
And where is that?
That's in Sabi Island.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that's where I got my seeds.
And now we have, where do you live?
I live in Gearhart, but my the dye farm that I partner with is North Fork 53 in Nehalem, Ginger and Brigham. Let me go indigo there.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's where you two are presenting the Indigo Festival. So tell us a little bit about that and what folks might do if they want to jump into that.
So it's basically, last year, this is the second annual. Last year we did a one-day event. This year we're doing a three-day event.
Wow.
And so there's all of the residential spots are to stay at North Fork are full, but we still have day passes and a few day passes depending on the day, and then some whole weekend, so you could do all three classes and commute. Basically, it's from plant to dye. So we're going to learn how to extract the pigment. We're going to make vats. That's the thing I should tell you in a second. And then we're going to do patterning using mud and using folding and clamping techniques. People might be familiar with the word shibori, which is the Japanese term for tie-dye, basically fancy tie-dye. And then on Sunday, we're going to use the fresh leaf to dye with. So those gorgeous, like, turquoise kind of mm-hmm. mermaid colors, mm-hmm. the only mm-hmm. source of them in the natural world is fresh leaf indigo within a very short period from cutting it to dyeing the cloth within, like, an hour, literally.
Wow.
If you want those gorgeous sky blues, the deep, deep navy blue, that's extracting the pigment from the plant. So there's kind of two avenues to get color from this plant and other indigo-bearing plants. And we're going to do both of them.
Okay, and I was so enamored of the colors. I forgot mm-hmm. to mention, I think, that the fabrics that I've had my hand on, just my right hand, my left hand is operating the board. I want you to know I'm not driving
I don't recommend driving with indigo textiles.
No,
it's just as bad as texting.
They have, each one of these pieces is a different fabric. Mm-hmm. So there's, I believe, silk all the way to a very almost burlap kind of fabric.
That's wild silk. It's wild tussah silk.
Oh, my. And it's quite thick.
It feels like a linen.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yes. And then you have velvet.
Yes, yeah, silk and velvet.
All kinds
cotton, yeah. Hemp, some linen. Wool and
so it, does the mm-hmm. color change depending on the fabric as well?
It certainly does.
It does.
Yeah, absolutely. It
as well as how long you leave it and how much you use and all that.
Yeah, there's so many factors. Protein fibers always really respond to colors, whether you're dyeing synthetically or naturally. They really soak up a lot of pigment, and they hold it differently than cellulose fibers. So cellulose meaning plant fibers, protein mm-hmm. meaning animal fibers. Mm-hmm. But each one will take color in its own really special reflective way. So,
both of you have studied this as well as experienced it. Obviously, the way you're talking goes way beyond just growing plants and yes. learning how to dye.
Yeah,
it moves into obsession. Yes.
Well, I have watched Iris because she does so many different things. I haven't known you long enough. But I've watched Iris, and once she got into this indigo, it's like she disappeared into the vat.
Yes.
Everything is indigo now.
I know. I'm wondering if there should be like a warning disclaimer.
Right.
It's kind of like a fever.
Yes.
Right. It's addictive. So, but what a wonderful way to use your time and energy. So what can someone do who wants to learn more about this and possibly take part in the festival? Where do they go to?
So you can sign up and get tickets on my website, which is dreambirdstudio.com. And then there's links there to, if you're just doing a day pass as an Eventbrite. So if you know about Eventbrite, you could probably search there, or there's a link on my website that goes there. But the weekend passes are still being hosted on my site.
Okay. I think that might be the easiest is for folks to go to mm-hmm. dreambirdstudio.com mm-hmm. and find out what else is going on. And this is all taking place at North Fork 53, which is a whole world in itself. You can check them
it's
out.
Super magic.
And Coastal Retreat and tea in the Halem. Mm-hmm. And it's happening September 20th to the 22nd. So check it out, sign up, and you can also, while you're on that site, ask for other stuff going on in the indigo world, because this is just one big, beautiful festival.
We should probably mention Brittany's website. She's teaching a bunch of other indigo classes during the rest of the summer, and I'm actually teaching at Portland Nursery on Sunday. So if you wanted to do speed dating versus the in-depth, then Sunday is...
And Brittany, what is your website?
So I actually have everything on my link tree. But the easiest way to find my workshops is to go to Instagram and look at Sea Spell Fiber, which is S-E-A. S-P-E-L-L, fiber.
Okay.
So C-Spell Fiber is my Instagram, and you'll find a link there with all my workshops. You can also go to Indigo Pigment Extraction Methods on Facebook, and it's a global sharing network of over 2,500 people sharing about their growing experiences.
So indigo is
which
the
Brittany founded. Actually.
Oh, fantastic. You'll have to come back and do a whole show. Hey, thank you so much.
You.
Brittany Bowles and Iris Sullivan-Dare, and I didn't even write down that Instagram, Facebook stuff because, you know, I don't know how to do those things. So I just have dreambirdstudio.com.
Yep, I'll put a link on mine.
There you go. There you go. Thanks so much for coming.
Thank you.
And thanks for letting me feel all these good, gorgeous things. Here's some music from my last guests, Kate and Starla Gable. Stay tuned.
Someday you'll sing to me too. I will sing to you. I will sing to you. I will sing to you, and someday you'll sing to me too. We don't know where we go, but we're here and we're near. So I'll sing to you, and someday you'll sing to me too. I will sing to you. Aquí junto a ti, canto para ti, un día canta tú por mí, canta para mí, canta para mí, canto para ti, un día canta tú por mí.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. This is Kate and Starlet Gable from their album, Singing Up Another Day. And what are we listening to?
It was I Will Sing to You, a song written by Pete Seeger for his grandson.
Oh, lovely. Sounds quite different, sung by you two.
Thanks.
However, so,
I had to go next door to my neighbor's house to help with the Spanish verse, but we've got it down now.
Good job. Now Kate, we know, is local because she writes for the paper. She's all over the place, actually. But Starla, where do you live?
I live in Yakima, and I'm lucky to be retired from the Yakima School District.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank
all
you.
Right, so you get to come here and play with us.
Yes. And here out of away from the 103 weather over there.
Oh, lordy, lord.
My timing was perfect.
Yes, I'm sure. You two are going to be playing this Sunday at the Oysterville Vespers at 3 p.m. That's at the Oysterville Church, which... Is that right? That
Absolutely.
Beautiful church,
yep.
Which has all kinds of things going on there. I've been to many concerts there. It's a sweet, sweet church. And they do have this thing called Vespers, which most of us don't even know what it is. But what they do is have music each time. And so that's, I think anybody's welcome. You don't have
Absolutely.
To be a religious person. Or
casual dress. I mean, mm-hmm. don't be afraid of the fact that it's in a church. Most of it is music, really. There's a tiny little sermon, and there also will be an Oysterville moment presented this week by Sydney Stevens.
Oh,
usually
thanks.
It's some kind of little historical anecdote.
Nice.
And there's always someone wonderful who plays the old pump organ, which just makes the whole scene the way it's supposed to be from when the church was first erected, I think. So, and
it's
the acoustics in there are fantastic.
Wonderful.
It's known for that.
Yeah. It's funny because the way the seats are shaped, you know, there's that whole sort of side where they can't necessarily see everything, but it doesn't matter because the acoustics
are so
good.
Yeah.
So what are you going to be playing for that?
Well, we've got a range of folk tunes with our own special spin on them. I think the earliest song we're going to sing was written in 1903, right up to some more contemporary ones. We've got a couple Melvina Reynolds tunes that we're going to be featuring. She's such a great
singer. She is fat. I just played her last Tuesday.
Yes, you
I
talked about
Rosalie
her.
Rosalie Sorrell's playing.
Yes, and
Melvina.
That was a great version of
yeah.
her. Not enough people, I think, know about Melvina's
Reynolds.
Talent.
Ooh.
Fantastic.
And clever and very political as well.
Yeah, we took one of her songs and made a three-song, we're calling it an apple medley. So
that?
One of her songs about plant a rose for me, and if you'll love me for a long, long time, plant an apple tree, spills into Ida, sweet as apple cider, and that spills into I'll be with you in apple blossom time. So
I love it.
That's going to be a new little medley for us that we're going to share with folks.
So, Starla, now that you're retired, can you come during the middle of the week, too?
I can.
Uh-huh, because I would love to have the two of you come in on a Tuesday morning on my folk show and just play live music.
Oh, gosh. Wow, Carol, that's a nice invitation.
Well, it's real,
that
too.
That would be fun.
And that would be delightful.
It would be fun.
Because here we only have your CD because I warned them time is tight today, but I wanted to hear. So your sisters, does that mean you've been playing and singing together all your lives? Or
yes, we used to come to the beach every summer around the 4th of July.
From Yakima.
From Yakima.
Oh, that's where you started.
That's our hometown, and I still live there, as I said. And Dad would teach us. He was in a nationally ranked barbershop quartet. He would teach us barbershop songs to pass the time in the car. He was a tenor, but he sang bass an octave high. I got to sing lead because I was youngest.
I sang tenor. Yeah.
Wow. And then Mom sang baritone.
That's fantastic.
But we started out, actually, Star and I were talking about this in the car driving over. We both still remember singing with Mom. She had an auto harp on her lap when we were like maybe 3 and 5.
Jesus loves me.
Yeah, I'm sure that was on the agenda. But then we went our separate ways in terms of musicality for junior high. We each had our own groups.
Oh.
But then we started singing together again maybe, when we decide, 40, 45 years ago, we started singing together.
And there's something special about siblings singing
together. People tell us
that.
I mean, it hadn't occurred to us initially, but our voices are different but similar, and our vibratos are similar, and we grew up with harmony. Mm-hmm. So harmony is one of the things we most love. And a lot of the folk tunes, you can kind of tell, have a barbershop harmonic spin, because barbershop harmony has such close and moving chord progressions.
Right.
And that you will hear in our arrangements.
Yeah.
I have to be honest, though. If I haven't listened to a particular song that we've done together, I think, is that me singing lead, or is that Kate singing lead?
Because
I sometimes can't even tell.
Yeah.
Well, and sometimes we switch off. Sometimes, I don't know, depending upon our range or who's got the last note, someone will jump up to harmony suddenly from the melody, or we kind of look at each other and just, I don't know, it just happens.
Look at each other. That's the word I was going to use, the communication.
Yes.
Because it's almost inbred there. You've been doing it for so long, you can really tell where you're going with this.
And I get nervous every single time. Oh. And Kate tries to remind me it's going to be fine.
Oh,
and
that's
99%
sweet.
Of the time, it's fine.
Now, 100% of the time, you may not be fine, but it is 100% of the time. So, but you haven't gotten as many chances to play together if you've been out there in Eastern, in the far.
Yeah, we definitely
reaches.
Have to plan our calendars prior to a gig that we've said yes to, so we can, you know, put some different songs together.
Well, we'll look at the calendar after we get off the air, and we'll find a good date
great,
for
that'll
you
be
to come
fun.
In.
Great,
so,
very fun.
Yeah. So again, folks, this is the, if you know, I say the Oysterville Church, but that is at almost at the top of, my hand goes up in the air, of the peninsula, the Long Beach Peninsula, right across from Astoria, if you're Oregon-centric. And it's a wonderful place. Just take a look at whatever helps you get places, and head on up to Oysterville, 3 o'clock. I'd say get there early so you can get yourself a spot and enjoy the environment. I'm delighted that Sydney's going to be speaking. She always does a great job. So thank you so much for coming in, and we'll talk. Don't go away. We'll talk.
Thanks, Carol.
Meanwhile,
thanks.
I have a couple of things I just want to share, folks, that today, Astor Street Opry Company is playing The Coaster, has Then There Were None tonight and Sunday and Thursday, and Nonsense is Saturday and Wednesday. Fort George is showing Kindergarten Cop tonight. Southwester has an art opening from 6 to 9. That's in Seaview. Labor Temple has punk music at 9:30, the Hoffman Ashley and the Riveters Band, and Picture Attic has from 3:30, it's already happening, till 7:30, art and music. That's 711 Pacific North in Long Beach, including Sue. And then I gave you Saturday's happenings on Sunday, Cannon Beach City Park. Don't forget the orchestra, 5 o'clock at Tolovana Arts Colony. Music, Latino music. And Tuesday, Peninsula Players has auditions. On the 14th, that is Wednesday, the Astoria Studio Collective is presenting Sally LaCaff and...